Probably a good idea if we pray, huh? For discernment, Lord, we're looking at your book again, Lord, and we want to know what you want us to learn. Open our eyes and our minds and our hearts. Help us to remember, Lord. We're celebrating Independence Day in our country, Lord, and you know that. We're grateful for the freedom that we have. Help us to remember the sacrifice of others. We're going to sing a song at the end of the sermon. There's a line in there, Lord, about God, mend thine every flaw. We need your help every day, Lord. Pray for your will to be done. Let's never forget, too, Lord, the freedom that you give us in Christ. The freedom that allows us to serve and love others. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Okay, some background on our hour and a half sermon before we start. I got a bias when I read the book. Everyone does. My bias is that this is a collection of faith stories inspired by God. And when I look at it, I try to find, okay, what am I supposed to learn today? How is this story affecting me? What's going on, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's all about relationships. And if you look at least the way I do, that God uses some interesting characters to carry that message of Christ. They all got issues. That's hopeful for me. We all got issues. The first book in this Bible is called Genesis, and there's a line in there where it says that you are created in the image and likeness of God. You believe that? Well, you are. The Bible even goes so far to say in Psalm 139 that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You. And there's nothing you can do about it. Paul, the guy we've been studying for the last few weeks, has written a lot of the New Testament. Paul was a character. He had issues too. He was brilliant, right? He was a former persecutor of Christians. He'd round them up and take them to jail. And I mean, the guy was outright nasty. Well, this guy, Paul, has one of those come to Jesus moments, right? Where he's transformed. The road to Damascus, things come down, and Jesus says, hey, why are you persecuting me? He's transformed. He's changed. And now this guy is doing all that he can to carry the message of God's love to everybody. Not just a few, but to everybody. This letter to the Romans, it's a letter to the Christians that are in Rome. Paul hasn't been there yet. He's a Roman citizen. I think it's easy to say that we can benefit from reading this whole book. This letter, especially if you got time or make time, go home and read the eighth chapter, the entire eighth chapter of Romans. It's some of the best stuff in the Bible, according to Kurt. There's that line at the very last verse of the eighth chapter. I think it's verse 38, 39. It says, nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. When we look at this, we meditate on it, we pray upon it, and we ask, you know, what are we supposed to learn from this, Lord? Where do we see ourselves in the story? How does it apply to us today, if at all, right? And what can we learn so we can be better equipped to be of maximum service to God and to other people? That's why we're here. Throughout the biblical narrative, there seems to be what? A consistent theme over and over and over and over again. They get the sense that what? God loves you. God loves you. God's on your side, and God will not give up on us. And when it comes to making sure we are loved, God is relentless. He sends all sorts of people. We continue to get that sense, I think, today in the scriptures, Romans 8:14 to 17. So we got about 12 minutes left, Admiral. Keep counting. It says three times a phrase. Did anyone catch it? Pastor Freeman read it, and every time I read it, it's like, oh, I never saw that before. You know, you read that, you want to hide something from a Christian, where do you put it? In the Bible, right? We've been reading this book for some time now, and Dawn and I have never seen the phrase, but here's the phrase that jumped out at me. Child of God, children of God, you. It says so, right here. A few short verses, three times it says child of God. It's not a cousin or a neighbor or a fellow citizen, but children. It's a rather intimate relationship we have going on with God. Child of God, question for you. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? That's your homework assignment for today. When you go home, take a look in the mirror, not too long. We don't need to do the constantly, right? Is my wig on straight? Yeah, right? But when you look in the mirror, what do you see? You know what God sees? One of his kids. You. Precious gift from God. You. It's amazing. Amazing little story. It goes like this. Here's the deal. Ready? You are precious in God's sight because it says in verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it's that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs with God and co-heirs with Christ. Adopted children of God, you. Believe that? A little bit of a dose of reality check too at the same time. We're still gonna struggle. We're still going to have issues. We're going to struggle to urge to do the right thing, and sometimes we want to do things our own way. We're going to struggle with sin. We're still going to have pain and suffering in our lives. If you don't have pain, check your pulse, right? We have that Holy Spirit with us, and we have a new family. Thanks to Christ Jesus' resurrection, sin no longer has a permanent hold on our lives. Verse 15 talks about we are led by the Spirit and adopted by God as children. In Christ, we have a new identity, right? Like Christ Jesus, we too can cry, Abba, Father. God thinks of us constantly with love and affection. Maybe this illustration will help. Maybe it won't. I had one guy tell me it didn't last service. I'll see you in the narthex afterwards. This is an illustration. Let me know if it works. Anyone ever seen the musical Annie? Yeah, no, I don't want you to start singing the song. No, don't go there. Don't hum it during the rest of the sermon either. It's a story about this kid named Annie who moves from an orphanage to the Warbucks. She came out of what? She left behind a spiteful, alcoholic caretaker and entered into a relationship with a caring and loving father. She goes from having no possessions to having a fortune at her disposal. The hard knock life is overcome by the brightness of a what? A sunny tomorrow. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Says so right there. We have gone from having no possessions in the kingdom of God to having the fortune of God's kingdom at our disposal. We have new life today and eternal life tomorrow with the brightness of a sunny day. Being an heir of God is a promise that is fulfilled with amazing, amazing realities. This same character, Paul, who wrote this letter to the Romans, also wrote a couple of letters to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, he says this, "What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him." Huh. You see, we can love others because God first loved us. Almost done. Two paragraphs left. Do you have a favorite translation of the Bible? There's one that you constantly always go to. I like the NRSV. Sometimes I go to other ones to get some different ideas of how people view this message of God. Eugene Peterson wrote a book, a translation of a Bible called The Message. This is how he translates what Pastor Freeman just read. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you have received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's an adventurously expectant greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know that we're going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through hard times with him, then we will certainly go through the good times with him. End of quotation. Hard times, good times. We live in interesting times, don't we? Challenging at times. As we try to make sense out of both the challenges and the opportunities each day, it's comforting to know that God's presence and love for us are constants. At times, we all suffer from that thing called stinking thinking, right? Believing that we're not good enough, or we don't measure up, or we worry about things we have no control over. We judge ourselves, and worse, we judge others. At these times, it's so important to be reminded that we have received a spirit of adoption. Mm-hmm. So let me say it again, please. Even more directly. You are a child of God. An heir of God, a co-heir with Christ Jesus. Hard to believe at times, but it's true. So remember, the Lord is with you always. Amen. Would you please stand and sing loudly our closing hymn?